Amen. You may be seated and open your Bibles to Hebrews 10:30. Hebrews 10:30. We're going to start on something new tonight. And we're going to just barely hit on it, but we'll get there. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 10:30. For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord, and again the Lord will judge his people." So we're going to start a study about vengeance. We're going to talk about vengeance. And now this verse is known by most Christians and most religious people. And there are a lot of different ideas about this verse. And as we go through this study, what we're going to do is we're going to back up and lay a little bit of a foundation to make sure that you have the right tools and you understand your part and your position in this particular area. And so let's get into it just a little bit, and then we'll put something under it a little bit here. So just right off the bat, though, what is vengeance? Well, I'm going to tell you what it's not, okay? Vengeance has nothing to do with hate or emotional resentment or retaliation of any kind, okay? It doesn't have to do with hate or emotional resentment or retaliation, okay? None of that. But it involves the necessity of punishing offenders, which proceeds from a love of justice. Wow. God loves justice. You love justice. You loved it when Marshall Dillon won. You love it when the Lone Ranger won. You love it when the Marvels win. You like the justice. You like it when you get justice. And there's a lot of ways to have justice. But what we don't want to do is build vengeance on the wrong foundation. You know, one of my friends had, "Nah, I'm not going to go there. Let's move on. Okay. I don't even want to go there." So, listen, the judgment is upon the devil and his agents of evil. Okay. Including anything and everything that's standing in the way of establishing God's kingdom or government. Anything that's getting in the way of God's kingdom moving forward can be plowed down. That's why you don't want to join up with it. Amen. So those who are hindering or stopping the spread of the gospel or interfering with the rights of the kingdom citizens are subject to God's vengeance. And again, this is not revenge that springs up from any kind of bitterness or ill will, which the Bible says is the work of the flesh, but from the love of justice, just pure old justice. So this is not about you praying, "God, I wish you'd kill them." Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. That has nothing to do with the love of God. It has nothing to do with the plan of God. Amen. Mm-hmm. God said this to Abraham, "I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you."
That's right.
That's what he said. Now, you can probably name Bible characters who had some justice. They had some vengeance. David, Abigail, Jacob, Joseph, Esther, Moses, Caleb, Joshua and Caleb, just to name a few. There's lots. I mean, there was some justice when Jesus was raised from the dead. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see that it has been and shall be. And so I'm going to tell you from the beginning what works now. This is what works. Here it is. You ready?
Yeah.
The vengeance of the Lord is not automatic. It's not automatic. God has to work through a person who believes and has confidence in God's ability to execute judgment and justice. So that means you got to have a pretty clean slate, because you can't be all emotional about someone and be praying, "Well, God, you see what I'm saying?"
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I've repeatedly over the last 10 years, there's a guy in this town, and he has a couple of friends that do it too, that they persecute me all the time. And because I'm a woman preacher. And so it's on and on and on. And people will come to me and tell me that same person or those three same guys, they're all men, all always talk about how out of order we are because you have a woman who's a leader. Now, obviously they haven't studied the Bible, or they would see that Paul put Priscilla and Aquila in charge, and some other, and we could go on, and you could see where Philip's daughters were prophetesses, and you can, I mean, you can learn these things. You can see who God was talking about when he said, "Women, be quiet in church." Who Paul said that? He's talking to a particular group that were into idolatry, doing some things. Don't have time to go through that. But anyway, these three guys, they persecute me from time to time, and someone will mention their name, particularly one of them who's kind of goes to a pretty religious church. And so I was studying this and I was walking up my path. I'm committed to God to walk every day now. And the Lord just kind of caught up with me. Have you ever felt like that? You're walking and all of a sudden he comes up next to you and says, "He said this to me. What do you want me to do about him?" I stopped right where I was like, "Nothing. I don't want him hurt." Yeah. And the Lord said, "Good. Now something good here is going to happen." Now, I never had any, I haven't been, you know, this guy, when we see each other, we say hi. He doesn't say anything to my face. It's all behind the scene. But I don't care. But God actually asked me that. Now, if I had some sort of emotional baggage about that guy, I wouldn't have any business saying one thing. You see what I'm saying? Now, I'm helping you get in your right place. Because you have to pray the will of God about people, no matter how you feel about them. You have to pray the will of God about them. You just can't say, "God get them," or "God do this." Go, what's God's will? So he asked me what I wanted to do with the person. So I told him. I said, "This is what I would like. I pray that the eyes of his understanding are enlightened." That was good enough for me. I want him and his family to do well. So that's good enough for me. But now I'm using that as an example so you'll get that, because sooner or later, somebody's going to persecute you. They will. Sooner or later, somebody's going to pick on you or tell lies about you. There'll be someone who will do it. And I'm telling you, just walk in love. Just walk in love. That's all you have to do. Just forgive. Right away, say, I don't care how mad you are. We've had to walk in that office with the group of us leaders after someone has said some stuff in this room. And I go in there and say, "Y'all, I'm mad right now. But sin not."
That's right.
Doesn't matter how mad you get at that moment. It just matters that we do not step into hate and bitterness. Amen. Yes. Am I helping you? I wanted to say that before we got into this, because I want to make sure you're stable in this and you don't go trying to pass judgment on people.
Right. Yeah.
It's our job to love people. It's God's job to change people.
Amen.
And that's just the truth. But you will see as we go that there's just, now you can all think of somebody in the United States that you would really like to see change. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Okay. But we need to know how to handle that. So, vengeance is not automatic. God has to work through a person who believes and has confidence in God's ability to execute judgment and justice. Okay. So Daniel believed in his God, didn't he? And his power and sovereignty to deliver him from the lions. And so God did. Those lions just went to sleep. I always just picture Dan just laying up next on one of them, you know, keep him warm in there probably. I mean, you want to know why? Because Daniel was the biggest lion in the den.
Wow.
He was the biggest lion because he trusted in his God. Amen. And so we need to understand that. Now, next. We are in a time right now where God wants to restore some things. Our church in particular, our house, God wants to restore some things to you. I think certainly in the body of Christ, I think this is good for anyone listening, but I know it for the people who are close to me or near me or who listen. I'm telling you, God wants to restore some things. And so there's an anointing for restoration on us right now. There's an anointing for it. Now the enemy's trying to get in the way. He's trying his best to get in the way, but he loses. Amen. Whatever is making you, I'm going to say something to you and you're going to have to not be holy right now, okay? Whatever is making you uncomfortable can be removed. Yes, it can. Whatever it is can be removed. Whatever's been interfering with your destiny, whatever resisting God's plan for your life or holding you back, I command it to let you go in Jesus' name. This is your time to shine, church. In fact, everybody close your eyes and receive this right now. I decree right now that whatever has been blocking God's plan from coming to pass in your life is now being removed. Everything held up that was prepared by God for your destiny must be released now in Jesus' name. No more delays, denials, or substitutes. And wherever the enemy has been holding you back, you are breaking forth. We declare it. We believe it in Jesus' name. The justice system of God is now executing vengeance on your behalf. Yes. Take that. You can open your eyes now. Y'all already had. I saw that. But praise the Lord. But listen to me. Everything I just declared, it's your responsibility to believe it. You have to believe it. You have to take it. I have an offering word for y'all on Sunday morning that's going to cause you to get your stuff. You're going to get your harvest after you hear the offering word that God gave me for you. I'm really excited about it. I wanted to do it tonight, but God said, no, do this. But you're going to get your stuff. You're going to get it. You're going to get what you have said. You're going to get it because you're going to know what to do.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's fairly simple. Praise the Lord. Now, I just believe that there's a fresh oil anointing on the church. It was prayed in here on Tuesday. There is a fresh oil anointing on this church.
Amen.
Now, there's the start. Take what we just said. There's the start. But I believe we need to back up so that everyone can get on this. I need you to identify with who you really are. So I'm going to lock this into place just like now you know for sure that you're not supposed to hate people and command a judgment on them. I say, you know, I really love Pastor, but better get that butt out of here. Right? Amen. That was kind of snarky just for Bobby because he likes it when I talk like that. Praise the Lord. Okay, now, let's just, we know this. Everybody's identifying with something in these days, right? So we need to know who we're identifying with, okay? So it's important to know who you are and where you sit. So go over to Galatians 3:7 and let's go there. I want to show you something. Ronnie, if you could pull that up. I forgot to tell you about it, but Galatians 3:7. I want to show you something because we're about to see some victories. We're going to see some victories. We're going to see some victories in finances, your harvest. And some victories in some things where the enemy tried to trip you up using either your own thoughts or people, whatever it may be. Praise the Lord. So God's going to show us these things, but we need to do this. Are you there? Galatians 3:7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now this is Bible, okay? And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. So who's under the curse? People that get under the law.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
The law of sin and death. In other words, they believe that they need to, if they don't keep the law, They're losing, right? Okay, they have to do that to earn. But we don't believe that because we're in faith with Abraham. Now, okay, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, because the just shall live by faith. So you're not being judged by whether you keep the law or not. Neither is the guy who talks about me. Okay? He just doesn't know. Okay? All right, now, so, but that no man is justified by the law on the side of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Do you get that? The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live them. So if you're going to live by the law, this is what the Bible says, you'll die by the law. Okay. Now, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Everybody in here can quote this. Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So, real simple, all of us know this, there's the blessing and there's the curse. You were under the curse, but Christ freed you from it. You are not under it anymore. He took the curse. He took the generational curses.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Whatever Grandpa did, you're not paying for it. Now, under the law, they paid for, it's called iniquities. That's the sins of the fathers. Iniquity means sins of the fathers. And so generations paid for that. Outside of Christ, you can see that. Okay? Amen. So, but really and truly, you're not paying for it. Now, obviously, listen to me. There are reasons why you could suffer from the lie of the curse.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because when we got saved, everything just didn't turn up roses. There's something going on here.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to get your faith going. And you could live under the lie of it. But legally, you're redeemed.
Right.
Legally, you're redeemed. Y'all got that, right? So it said if you place yourself under the law, then you're going to pay. But if you get in faith with Abraham, you're redeemed from the curse. So legally you're free, but you could live under the law, live a lie if you want to. Now, listen to Romans 8:1. Everybody knows this, so you can look it real quick, but you know this. There is therefore now no condemnation. You're not condemned. For those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, a lot of people say, well, that last part's not really in the scriptures. It may not be, but if you go down three or four scriptures, it says that exact thing. So it's really true. You're not condemned when you're walking in what is really the truth. But when you follow after the flesh or let me just do it myself, or I don't appreciate myself, or self-condemnation, or any of those other things that are self, you're walking after the flesh, and you start seeing these things. Life is choice-driven. So even though you're born again, you could live in a mess if you don't recognize it and do what needs to be done about it. Are you with me so far? So if you place yourself under the law, it's not a good thing, but you are redeemed. We're redeemed, but we still have a free will. Now, life is choice driven. Now, Jesse Duplantis says that women do not carry purses, they wear purses. Okay. Now, I prefer simple, lightweight purses, so I wear this purse. This is my purse. Okay. Danny carries it for me after every service, but this is my purse. But if I'm going to go get somebody else's purse and carry it, go over here and get Jordan's purse. Not really, people online. He doesn't identify with this person. Now, well, Lordy, this is not my purse, but I could choose to carry it. I am not going to carry this purse. I'm so glad a 30-year-old carries this purse. She could work out on it. I'll do it both sides. That's thing. Okay. Praise the Lord. No, I'm good. I'm just playing. So, you get that? Now, the blessing, it's mine. I'm in it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pick up that other purse. Mm-mm. It has consequences. You pick up that, you pick things up with words, with words and behavior. That's how you pick up the lie of the curse.
Oh, wow.
You start believing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Listen to me, church. Watch who you listen to.
Yeah.
Because there's a whole world of Christians out there that teach you some things that are not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand there's some people that are in our camp and they teach on how to get delivered from generational curses. But what they're actually doing is teaching you how to get delivered from the lie of generational curses, curses, because they believe what we believe. I've known them for years and years. I won't mention their names, but you probably know who they are. But, they believe what we believe, walk by faith. Amen. So don't pick up what is not yours, church. The devil has a flip chart. And no one is exempt from that flip chart. Now, here's what I want us to look at, and I think this will settle, and then when we get together Sunday, we can head on into this vengeance part, okay? Now, there are four words for redemption, okay? All four are extremely important. The first is agorizo, and it actually means marketplace. And it's frequently used in the Bible to mean slave market. Okay? So buying, selling, trading of human people, human debris, they would say. Okay? So potential buyers are allowed to check out all the merchandise. And we're talking about in the Bible days here, right? When this is written, the Apostle Paul wrote it. They kicked them. They hit them. They looked at the physical shape, checked out their teeth, you know, all that stuff, spit in their face, slapped them, cursed them. And those slaves had no personal, worth. They just served the demands of the current owner. Okay. Now, when Jesus entered the world, it had become a global slave market. I mean, it was going on everywhere. If you think America was the first one with the slaves, you've got it all wrong. Africa was full of people. Black people having black people having white people having all that whole thing. There was a lot of slavery going on, all kinds.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
Just remember, Israel, they were slaves to Egypt. Okay? So this slave market's been going on for a long time. Now, each generation after Adam, it just grew deeper into depravity. It just got worse and worse all the time with all the generations that passed. Now, in Romans 7:14, Paul says that we were sold under sin. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the word sold there is piprosko. It means the transfer of property. Now I want you to remember that. The transfer of property. Remember that, okay? Now, like slaves, we're slapped around, we were kicked around, we were spit upon, emotionally marred, damaged, self-image, passed from one bondage to another. But Paul says, but he says we were servants of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Sin had us captive. Now, you were born into that, church. Adam messed it up. And don't think when you get there you need to go talk to him about it. He's had all the persecution he can. No. Praise the Lord. Now, so servant is doulos, doulos in the New Testament, in the Greek. And it's one whose will is completely swallowed up in the will of another. Isn't that good? It's completely swallowed up in the will of another. So we were swallowed up by Satan. Ephesians 2:2 says, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. What's that mean? Well, according to means kata, and it's a forceful or dominating. And by choosing this word, Paul's just telling us that we were completely dominated. We were completely manipulated by the course of this world. It's how it is. It's how it was before you knew better. I mean, you could even be born again and it's settled on the inside, but you didn't know it on the outside yet. Yeah. That's why I'm trying to help you. So the word course here, this is an interesting word. This is a Greek word that means an allotted time. And it would be like this. This is what it'd be like. Remember they called it the Roaring Twenties? Remember they call us, some of y'all don't know this, they call us the 80s ladies. You know, the big hair and all that stuff. Oh, and in the 80s. I want my 80s. People want to listen to that music. And it was the best secular music I can remember. But anyway, somebody might have said amen on that. But anyway, you get it. So all involved in the times. In that age, you're all, right now, everybody's involved in the 20s, right? In the 2020s, right? Okay, so what does that mean? They're dominated by popular thinking of their own particular time and generation, fluctuating philosophies and ideas within it. But people, watch how people talk. People didn't talk like we all talk now. People that came across in the wagons were still talking fairly properly when they, what we would call more properly, pleased to make your acquaintance, stuff like that instead of, dog, what's up? Am I right?
Yeah.
A handshake, a sincere handshake would, as Garth Brooks would say, a sincere handshake will make you a friend that'll fight for you. A handshake, a firm, not that you're hurting someone, but a sincere handshake, people will get on your side. They'll believe in you. But nowadays it's just a different world nowadays. I guess that could be sincere. We just taught both of our poodles to do high five. They're getting really good at it. But you see the difference. So there's a time and people get hung up in their generational, in their time. Okay, now, the world here, the word world here is komos. It's an order and arrangement. You walked around controlled by the fashion of the day and the thinking of the hour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now that could be dangerous today. Because every email that comes in, if they steal your email, every email says, we're about to crash, we're about to crash, we're about to crash, get your money out, do this, do that, this is about, conspiracy, conspiracy, conspiracy. Am I saying none of them are true? Some of them are true. But still, it's just going to run your mind into a place where you would just be going nuts right now. Mm-hmm. If you didn't know God like you knew him.
Right.
Amen. So you walked controlled by the prince of the power of the air. He's controlling this world system, church. He's controlling it. And so he's working behind the scenes. The rogue system that you're looking at is Satan. We're not even warring against flesh and blood. They're not smart enough to pull off that stuff. This is a plan from the enemy. Okay, now, so three things. First of all, he's a prince. Mm-hmm. He has a ruling position. He's a real prince ruling over demon spirits and exercises authority over lost men and women who he has blinded. And he's blinded a lot of the church. But we have to understand that you can be ruled over darkness and not realize it. You don't have to be, but you could fall into that. Amen. Number two, he does have power. He has some authority. He has authority over his ranks. He wasn't smart enough to build them. He built them just like God's ranks with the angels. But he did build them, and he has them running around. And listen, he's not coming to your house. He's got little bitty, impy lies that if he can get you to buy into, you will empower them and they'll become big shadows on the wall. Am I right? You're giving them the power. They are suggestions. Now, generational curse is a suggestion from a familiar spirit that your family or your ancestors dealt with. But you are not under the curse, and you don't have to live like that, and you need to know what you can do about it. But he does have that authority. Number three, Satan's power base is located in the air. Now, he is living in the AER. His reign is the AER. It's the lower, denser regions of the Earth's atmosphere. He is not high in the air. You don't go to outer space to look for the devil. The word aether, A-I-T-H-E-R, that's the purer, cleaner air, you know, that John Denver probably breathed when he wrote all his good songs. Rocky Mountain High, okay. So, praise the Lord. Okay, so, but it's in a dense environment that engulfs the earth. So it's in another realm, but when you're getting ready in your bathroom or you're driving your car by yourself and you get to thinking and you hear something really, you know, is negative and you let it mess with you, that's when he's got you, particularly when you go, oh, and you say it. Or you get a twinge, oh, and you take it. Oh, the Womba Goddess must be coming on me. You took it, and he's now controlling what's going on with you until you say something to get rid of that. Am I helping anybody? Okay. Now, so he is the God of this world. Now, Ephesians 2:2, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I want to just say something right now about the children of disobedience. People that are not saved have no choice.
Yeah.
No, you have a choice.
True.
They do not have a choice. They do not have anything in here to go to light except one little light that could lead them to the light, which would cause them to light up.
Yeah.
That's pretty good right there. Light to the light to the light to the light. But am I right?
Yeah.
That's true. So don't get mad at heathen people.
Yeah.
They don't know. Mm-hmm. Don't get mad at ignorant people. I didn't say stupid people. I said ignorant people. People are ignorant of the word.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
They don't bother to read it and understand it. So they walk according to the course of this world, or according to religion, or according to what preacher dry dust preached, whatever. Amen. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, that's the word energio. It means energizing. And that's declaring that prior to our salvation, don't get mad at me for telling you, but you were energized by demon spirits.
Yeah.
That you weren't possessed, but they were telling you what to do.
Yeah.
Man, when that guy comes in here and says that to you again, you need to knock his lights out.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Or, I'm breaking up with you. You're not my friend anymore because you hurt my feelings. Or everybody hates me. I'm just going to go in the garden and eat worms. That's all of that is the devil.
It is.
And it comes to every person, even Christian people. But the thing is that you're empowered to get over that.
That's right.
But people in the world camp, they just go that way. They don't know any difference.
Yeah.
That light's not on. We declare it comes on.
Amen.
Now, that was all the one. The second word, because you're free now, okay, church? You're free from that. The second word, redemption, is exargarizo. That's a mouthful. X means out. This means you got out of the slave market. This is the word there, to purchase a slave out of the slave market. Galatians 4, 4 and 5 there. So God's purpose was not only to inspect the slave market. This is what he did, church. He inspected the slave market. He saw you in your darkness, in your weakness, and he came to inspect you and place you as a son. Okay? He's buying you out.
Amen.
Okay? Now, the third word for redemption is lutro, L-U-T-R-O-O. And it means to set the captive free by a ransom.
Hmm.
Now, this is going to get really good right here, so stay with me now. He paid the price, and it was free to you, but it was not free to him. We need to remember that.
Yeah.
This was not free. You're worth so much. God gave a son to get you. You're worth so much. Now, you can find that all over the New Testament. Ephesians 1:7, Colossians 1:14, Colossians 1:20, Hebrews 9:12. Don't try to write them down. You can go back and listen to the tape. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 and Titus 2:14. He has paid and redeemed us. Now, the fourth word, redemption, is apolutrosis. I'm not going to say it again. Apo means away or back, returned back. Lutro, by the payment of a ransom. And so that means that Jesus paid the ransom to return us to the condition we were in before captivity.
Amen.
That's good, isn't it? Before captivity ever, so he's returned you to the garden life.
Yeah.
You're returned to the garden life. That's good right there. He's returned you to there. That's who you are. So in plain words, Jesus paid the price to permanently set us free and restore us to the full status of sons. Okay. Galatians 4:7 says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So, you're an heir.
Yeah. Right.
So here's what we just said redemption means. Number one, Christ came to locate us in our depravity and to inspect our slavery to Satan. Number two, Jesus came to permanently remove us from Satan's power. Number three, he was willing and did pay a ransom price. Number four, he restored us to the position of sons of God. That's what redemption is all about right there. You've been restored.
Yeah.
We ought to act like it. Now here's Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Here's Ephesians 1:21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over the things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So God set Jesus as the head above all of those things that the lies of the devil, all of his troops, the principalities, the powers, whatever they can do, you are his body. Jesus is at the head. You're the body. So all of these are under your feet.
Yep.
They're under your feet. In other words, you have charge.
That's right.
Over them.
Hallelujah. Amen.
You do.
We
There's no big bad devil that can get you.
That is right.
If they're bothering you, you need to take authority over them.
Yeah.
And don't give them the time of day.
Right.
Take authority, go on. Satan has no legal right to control us, our bodies, our families, our businesses, or our money. He has no right at all. Now, here's what I want to get to as we're going through the closing here. So please don't turn me off right now. You were not turned loose after the payment, church. You weren't turned loose. He didn't get you off of the slave stage there and take you out to the field and say, okay. And you run through going, I'm free. And you get a little ways down the road and bam, somebody picks you up again. Right? No, he didn't let go of you. He bought you and brought you over into his stuff. Okay, so you got to get this. So you, like Mephibosheth, y'all know Meph, right? David went to get him because of covenant. David picked him up. He was the son of Jonathan. David was wanting to fulfill covenant with Jonathan and Saul, the lineage. That ought to speak to somebody in here right there, the lineage. He brings him into his place. But Mephibosheth, he gives him his land back. He gives him his servants back. He gives him everything back. The guy has his businesses rolling.
Yeah.
Yet he eats at the king's table.
True.
Now see, that's where you're brought back to eat at the king's table.
Yeah.
The only difference between us and Mephibosheth is our legs are healed. That's the truth. This is what covenant does. So what I'm trying to tell you is you're not your own.
Yes.
You were bought with a price and you were brought into the family. You're a son or a daughter of God right now. So here, you're in Christ. You're in Christ. You're in his, kingdom, his citizenship. And come in further. You're in his family. You're at the king's table. So you didn't get saved to just go out there, run around and act like a heathen again.
No.
And bump in and go into slavery again.
Right. True. That's good.
You've got the ring. You've got the signet ring on.
That's right.
You're walking around with the king's name.
Yep. Boom. Yeah.
So you have some authority.
Yeah.
You low-lying devil, in the name of Jesus. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You tell him, you cannot get anything to leave you if you don't open your mouth.
Amen.
Smith Wigglesworth was standing next to a lady and they were both about to get on a bus. And her little, what do you call those little chihuahuas? Little chihuahua walks up and she goes, go back home, honey. Go back home now. The bus is coming. Go back home. He's standing there with her. Go back home. And the dog wouldn't go. And here comes the bus. So in a minute, she goes, scat! And that dog ran off. And he said, that's what everybody ought to do with the devil. Don't be talking sweet to the devil. Mr. Devil, if you'll just leave me alone, I promise I won't cause any trouble in the kingdom. That'll be the day. You receive this tonight?
Yeah.
So identify, church, in him, particularly as we're going into this vengeance thing, and you're going to be avenged.
Yeah.
You're going to be avenged. Christian people who belong to Jesus are going to see the justice hand of God come through America and change things for you and for this country.
Amen.
Oh, you still believe that, Pastor? You remember what I told you Sunday? I said, you don't need to be living your life based on if things get bad, we'll just wait because we're going in the rapture. We have stuff to do.
Amen.
That's right.
I'll be happy to go, but I'm going to do everything I can until I get there.
True.
All right. So you're in Christ. You're not your own. I think there's a scripture over in Romans 12 that says, that our body is the temple of the Lord.
Yeah.
Give your body as a living sacrifice. That's what you did when you came to church tonight. You sacrificed staying home, eating some popcorn, watching Carol Burnett. Say, who's Carol Burnett? Jesse's going, I don't know. It's because you didn't live in our age, Jess. Whatever comes on. See, I don't live in this one as much, so I don't know what to say. Whatever comes on. But you said, no, I'm going to go put the word in, and I'm going to go say something nice to my fellow Christians. And I'm basically sacrificing. And every one of us, and me included, have had the thought on a Wednesday night, I'll just let them listen to a tape. That's the devil.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not going. Pastor won't be there. I'm not going to go. Oh, no, no. We don't come, but whether pastor's here or not, we come for each other. We are all the church. Okay, I'm not going to get off on that. Now, so identify, this is who we identify as being in him. So, but use your true spiritual warfare. Regardless of how many demon spirits have been assigned to destroy you, you must cooperate with, I'm going to read it again. Regardless of how many demon spirits have been assigned to destroy you, you must cooperate with their suggestions in order for temptation to overtake you and ruin your witness. You would have to cooperate with them.
Yeah.
Oh, the big devil, he's after me. No. Church, if he could have killed you, he already would have.
Oh, yeah.
He can't.
Nope.
Come on, church. Don't fall for those lies. Listen, spiritual warfare is not, that's not spiritual warfare. I mean, Dad, you need to say some things. You absolutely need to talk. But most spiritual warfare is casting down imaginations that are exalting themselves above the knowledge of God. And how do you cast them down? You say, that's not my thought. And I'm not taking it. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. Scat!
Yep.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't let the devil ride in your car.
Right.
He'll want to drive.
Yeah. True.
They want to overtake you. They want to ruin your way. Ultimately, church, you are responsible.
Yes.
You're responsible. We can stand with you. We can pray with you. We can cast the devil off of you. We can do an all-night vigil for you. But unless you stand up and tell him no.
That is right.
Until you stand up to lack.
Yes.
Until you stand up to sickness. Until you stand up against death and grief. And trouble, and I'm an unhappy person, and depression, and all of those things, unless you stand up to it, it's going to stay right there and bother you. Rejection begets rejection. If one of us gets rejection, it'll just start pinging around if we don't take care of it.
Yeah, that's good.
But I just want you to know it got taken care of yesterday in the prayer meeting.
Yeah.
Because there were things said and nailed down yesterday, and we're free. Yeah.
Amen.
We maintain our freedom. That's right. Real spiritual warfare is a mental condition and a lifelong commitment. You're going to have to stay on it. Because he's not going to stop giving you suggestions. It's the only way he can get you to empower something. It's not so much an action as it's a determined, committed attitude of the mind. Yes, rebuke. Yes, bind. Yes, loose. But church, cast down imaginations.
Yes.
Cast them down when you feel like you're getting big headed.
Yeah.
Man, I'm good at that. I'm just so good at it. Watch me. Cast that imagination down.
Yeah.
The Lord told Brother Copeland, he said, do not read what they write about you. Remember? Mm-hmm. Don't read what they write about you, whether it's good or bad. Because if you read what's good, you're going to get the big head. If you read what's bad, you're going to get mad.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be offended.
Mm-hmm.
Some people get offended faster than other people. Some people are just really thick-skinned. Other people are softer. But wherever you are emotionally, It doesn't matter, because spiritually you're in Christ.
True.
You receive this tonight? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the anointing on this word. We thank you, Lord, that as we go into these next things, we just thank you, Lord, that we will not think less of ourselves. We will just think of ourselves less.
True.
And I thank you, Lord, for helping us and teaching us as we cross into new places. And I bless you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We bless you and we praise you.